Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. We are going to be talking about Frankenweenie, which is Tim Burton's latest stop-motion animation movie. We also have Taken 2 with Qui-Gon Jinn, a.k.a. Ra's al Ghul, fighting bad guys, and VHS, which is also a horror movie that is now out on demand. It's been on demand, and you can now get it on in the theaters, in select theaters around the country. There's also going to be DVDs and Blu-rays, but first of all, you know, it's Halloween week.
It is coming,
it's
yes.
Halloween month, rather.
Right.
Yeah, that's what happens in October. Are you a big fan of Halloween?
A little bit, you know.
Just a little bit.
A little bit.
then you're not a big fan.
No.
That's my definition.
No, I used to dress up when I was, you know, a kid and in college, and yeah, it was a lot of fun, but now it's just, I'm more of a big fan of the candy.
Well, that's true. But you also have a young child. You have a daughter, and so you're going to be doing Halloween.
And she already has her Halloween costume.
She's a slutty what?
A slutty cupcake.
A slutty cupcake. Because everything has to be slutty whatever.
She's only 3 months old. Come on. Cut her some slack.
Give her time.
Just give her time this year.
When she's like 15, you're going to be like, oh, no, slutty nurse. I saw on Family Guy, they had somebody playing a slutty cancer patient.
Nice.
Because that's what it always is. It's slutty something.
I was always a punk.
Were you a slutty punk?
No.
Well, you're older. You're not. You weren't of that era. It was somewhere in the 90s where suddenly
I was well before the slutty costumes.
I was really upset because one time I went to go see some movie at midnight at the campus theater right around, and it was like a couple days before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And there were all the slutty girls. And I'm like, did they know ever dressed like this when I was in high school and college?
We wore giant flannel shirts and spray painted our hair, and that was good enough. That's what I did.
What's really funny about the slutty things is I saw an ad for costumes on Facebook. It was one of those Facebook ads when you sign in, you get that splash page.
Right.
And it was these giant sort of like, they look like sleepwear, really. And I'm like, I'm calling shenanigans on this because there's there's not like a slutty Pikachu. It's just a giant fat Pikachu. And the girl in it was really cute, but I don't know. Maybe we're swinging back at this point because it was the 90s that happened. Like late 90s was the whole slutty everything.
Yeah, I was out of Halloween costumes by then.
I am going to go. I'm going to dress up as Bane from Batman, but I'm going to be Bane after he let himself go because I already have the body for it.
Well, that's true.
And I have the shaved head for it. I just need to get a mask and I'm going to have like a bathrobe and sweats and like socks with sandals. And I'll walk around and be like, after I fought with Batman, now I decided to sit on the couch and I need some rest. And that's going to be my Bane who let himself go.
Nice.
But anyways, that's one of the things I'm doing for Halloween, and I do this every year, is I watch a horror movie a day. I know a lot of people who do that. And that's a lot of fun. I don't know. You're not really crazy into horror movies.
I like horror movies. The problem is I'm the only one in this house who will watch them.
Ooh.
So I have to watch them on my own, which usually means that I have to watch them if my husband's gone for the week or something like
that.
So I'll watch scary movies and then I'll be up all night because nobody else is in the house.
Yeah.
And then I'm there by myself. And then
terrifying.
I hear all the... Yeah. It's terrible.
And in general, girls don't start getting into horror movies until they kind of get rebellious in teenage years when they're dressing up as slutty cancer patients.
Well,
and
there's
stuff
that.
Like that.
Yeah, I actually, when I was in my 20s, my friend and I used to have girls' movie night, and we'd actually watch all of the horror movies that nobody had let us watch when we were younger.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, every week we'd get together on Friday night and watch two, three of them until the middle of the night.
Horror movies are great.
Oh, yeah.
We had so much fun. We're doing a marathon. My son and I are going to a 24-hour movie marathon.
Right, yep.
We're also going to show them, because we did the Bondathon earlier this summer, and we showed all the kids all the Bond movies, and then we showed them all the Alien and Predators movies. We're showing them the Universal Monster movies. And there's like 5,000 of them, so we have to pick and choose. We're doing like Phantom of the Opera and The Invisible Man and The First Night, and then we're going to do like Frankenstein, The Wolfman, The Mummy, Dracula.
I might have to borrow that for you when you're done.
It's
I need to go
fun.
Through some of those.
It's going to be fun. But I am doing the 31 horror movies, at least 31, because I'm going to see at least one. I've been watching one horror movie a day in October.
Nice.
And so that's a lot of fun. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or you can give us a voicemail, 740-205-6456. Give us a voicemail. Want to leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, that works.
I'm not giving out voicemails. That's just a rule I have. If you want to go check us out on the web, you can go to fatguysatthemovies.com and you can get other clips and podcasts and various things that are not on this show. And you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/FGATM and like us. My Twitter is twitter.com/KevinCarr. You're not a Twitterer.
No, not yet. I know you keep telling me I have to.
You should.
I will. Eventually.
We'll get you moving.
When my child turns 18.
That's right. You can be a slutty Twitterer for Halloween.
There you go.
The slutty Twitter bird.
I could be a slutty angry bird.
That would be really good.
Yes.
That's a great idea. That actually is a fantastic idea. You're now committed to that.
I'll work on that.
Talk to me in a couple weeks.
Sure.
And you are from nightsandweekends.com.
Nightsandweekends.com. You can also find me at realdiscovery.org.
Ooh.
And I'm on Facebook.
Oh, my gosh. You are on Facebook.
Yeah.
They made a movie of that a while back.
I think I saw that.
You think you saw it? Maybe I did.
I may have.
It was directed by some hack named
David Fincher. Some guy.
I was just thinking about how much I didn't like that movie this morning. Literally in the shower, I was thinking about how much I didn't like The Social Network.
Really?
I don't like Aaron Sorkin.
Okay.
The guy who wrote it. I don't like his stuff.
I liked it. I didn't love it
as
much as everybody else did because it got all the critics awards that year except for ours.
Well, yeah, but so did Crash in like 2005 and that movie was just freaking terrible.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. You can listen to our latest review here. It's going to be talking about Taken 2, in which Liam Neeson returns as a retired spy whose wife is kidnapped in retaliation of events several years ago.
Listen to me carefully, Kim. Your mother is going to be taken. And people are going to come for you, too.
Dad.
Take one of the guns and two of the grenades.
You have 30 minutes.
This is not a game.
What are you going to do?
What I do best.
Now, they didn't screen this. Well, they screened it, but it was also conflicting with Frankenweenie, so we weren't able to see this early.
They did screen it?
They did screen it.
Oh, not here.
Just not
right.
We would have had to drive a little bit. They screened it in Europe. Where it was shot. Anyways,
I have to fly to Europe to see a movie.
Did you like Taken 1? Were you a big fan?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. I was pleasantly surprised by that one. Now, that one was one that came out in Europe, years before it even came out here?
I think so, yeah. It was a while.
So, people had already seen it, and it was, you know, on the internet, you could find it. And I hadn't seen it.
So we've heard.
But, oh yeah, I wouldn't do anything like that. But, you know, that was really a game changer for Liam Neeson at that point. So.
And he's like 60, and he's like just a superhero now.
He is.
And I saw there's that thing running around Facebook where they say, you know, Liam Neeson trained Darth Vader and Batman and he punches wolves. Why would you ever kidnap his family?
I wouldn't.
I don't know why, but he is a formidable man. He is tall, he's huge, he's strong. I was a fan of his all the way going back to Darkman back in 1990. Hmm. Did you see Darkman?
No.
That's a good movie. And I mean, he did stuff. He was like he was a British actor. Well, he's Irish. And he was in stuff like Krull. Do you remember Krull?
Nice.
From the 90s with that like that sword star boomerang thing that the guy threw?
Yeah, I was a teenage girl.
You weren't interested in Krull.
Yeah, no.
that explains so much as to why I was who I was at the time.
Yeah.
I did like Taken. I thought Taken was very cathartic.
Yeah.
it's great for a parent. Mm-hmm. And I encourage you, as your daughter gets older, to go back and rewatch the first Taken.
I have it on Blu-ray, so I can.
Go, not right now, because, you know, your daughter's, you know, she's the size of like a loaf of bread. A big loaf of
bread. A very big loaf of bread.
But a loaf of bread.
She's a big kid.
Yeah. When she becomes like a teenager, especially like the age of Maggie Grace from the first movie, mm-hmm. go back and watch it because you're just like, yeah, stick it to them, you know, for messing with my family kind of thing. Taken 2's, like I said, there was a conflicting screening and we didn't get to see it early, but the word is that it is even more violent and even more extreme and even more action and even more Liam Neeson punching things. And
why wouldn't there be?
Why not? And I'm looking forward to that. I think some people find that excessive, but those are people who aren't parents or maybe aren't married too, because this one they go after his wife.
Right, yeah.
And that's all in retaliation, so. But it gets preemptive suck because they didn't provide us an opportunity to see it.
Yes, it does.
Coming up, we are going to be talking about, in the next segment, we're going to be talking about Frankenweenie, and we're going to be talking about VHS. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. I'm here. My name's Kevin Carr, and I'm here with Kristen Dry Kramer.
Hello.
We're talking about some of the movies this weekend. We just talked about Taken 2, but next we're going to be talking about the next Tim Burton movie.
Frankenweenie.
So let's just go ahead and start playing the trailer, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Because I think there's going to be a lot to say about this.
There might be.
There we go.
Sparky! I can't believe it!
I can fix that.
I know.
Know what?
Your dog is alive!
You can't tell anyone. Promise?
Promise.
Victor brought an animal back to life.
With lightning and boom and
Have you seen the original Frankenweenie, actually?
I don't think I have.
Okay. You don't think you have?
I don't think so.
I was really drunk at the time.
Well, you know, it was a long time ago.
It was in the middle of horror movie night.
It came out a long time ago.
It was actually one of Tim Burton's earlier films he did for Disney. If the story behind Frankenweenie is that it was a short film that he did, and it starred like Shelley Duvall and Daniel Craig. And not Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig.
James Bond came in and punched everybody.
I'm Frankenweenie.
I'm Frankenweenie. And Daniel Stern. And it was a short film, and they released it on VHS, sometime in the 90s, if I recall. That's when I saw it. This is back when, studios would fund short films.
Right.
I mean, it was made sometime in the 80s. I think it was made after he did, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. So it was right around the beginning of his career. It was before he did Batman. Batman's really what put Tim Burton on the map. You know, he did Beetlejuice, which kind of gave him some mainstream notice, because even though he had done Pee-wee's Big Adventure, that was much more about Pee-wee Herman than it was about Tim Burton. And, and even though it's very Tim Burton, if you go back and watch the original Pee-wee, it was very much Pee-wee Herman. But when he did Beetlejuice, that's when you really got his set design.
That was very Tim Burton.
Yeah, Denise DeNovi started coming in as the producer, and it really gave a look. And so he did. He had done a bunch of short films. He'd done stop motion animation. He did this movie, a little movie called Vincent. You've seen Vincent, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantastic little film. And that one is a stop motion animated film about a kid who wants to be Vincent Price.
And why wouldn't you?
Vincent Price. A lot of people don't know who Vincent Price is anymore. I don't think. I'm like the young kid. The kids don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Young kids on Twitter, they don't know who Paul McCartney is. I'm not expecting that they're going to know who Vincent Price is. You heard about that whole Paul McCartney thing, didn't you?
I think I've heard of him.
Did you hear about how that came about?
No.
During one of the many 9 million music awards, they did some, and it was like Grammys. It was something pretty big. And they brought out Paul McCartney for some Lifetime Achievement Award. Like, he did anything in music.
Right.
And when he comes out, people then started looking at Twitter and finding people going, who's this Paul McCartney guy? This old dude? What's he doing? And
kids these days.
And they just look
so sad.
Think before you tweet, people, because it's out there and it's there forever. And this isn't just for celebrities. This is for average, everyday people.
It's true.
Think before you tweet. But anyways, Paul McCartney.
That's why I'm not on Twitter. I have a hard time thinking sometimes.
Well, you have to, it reminds me, there was a story of a guy I know on Latino Review, which is a big website. He wrote a review for The Wolfman, the one they did, Joe Johnson's Wolfman, from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it's irrelevant whether he liked the movie or not. He just did this review. And then somebody posted in the comment section, taking him to task because he didn't realize that this was all ripped off from Twilight and how it was Jacob Black and all this stuff with the wolves. They're the ones who originated that. and then they didn't realize that there was a movie 70 years before that existed. And the werewolf legend and lycanthropy goes all the way back to medieval times.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and it was funny. I mentioned it on Twitter one day, and he responded. He's like, "Oh my god, I forgot about that." It's just people only exist in their own realm, I guess.
Well, what do you know? You,
what do I know?
You write like a five-year-old.
I do write like a five-year-old. I couldn't find a profound thought in a wet paper bag. That's me. Kevin
that's
Carr
true.
With Fat Guys in the Movies. That's what you're listening to right now. Let's talk a little bit about Frankenweenie. What did you think about the new Frankenweenie?
You know, I think it's probably best as a short.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, because...
It's very different than the short.
Yes. And they try to throw in so many little things to beef up the story,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really go anywhere.
Well, that's that happens a lot.
The story is a mess.
Well, so was Hotel Transylvania last week.
Well, yeah.
For that matter, yeah.
But I think this one's messier.
Really?
Yeah. Because there are things, you know, there's a science fair.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole plot with a science fair that doesn't really go anywhere in the end.
Yeah.
And there's a whole thing with the new science teacher that doesn't really go anywhere.
It goes into this weird thing with the science teacher. And as much as I like science, I do dig science. I think science is a good thing. And I don't think it needs to be taken out of schools. They do get weirdly political with science in there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a bit out of place.
Right.
Because that's not what the movie's about.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right in the sense that it was very disjointed in a lot of ways.
There are a lot of things like the Dutch Day. You know, I thought, okay, well, maybe this is going to be actually something that happens. You know, there's this whole festival in this town, and it's, you know. But no, it was kind of an aside.
It was all an excuse to get a windmill in there, really, was I think what
it
was.
Well, you know.
Because the original Frankenstein from 1931.
Right.
It ends with a windmill.
There are windmills.
Yeah.
You know, and as a Dutch person myself, mm-hmm. I appreciate the references. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just wish it would have gone somewhere.
Do you go Dutch with your husband when you go places?
Not anymore, no.
Not anymore.
No. So, I don't think we ever did.
No, you never did.
No.
Well, you're Dutch. You've got to pay for yourself, woman.
See, where I come from, going Dutch means just being really cheap.
Oh, okay.
So.
Where I come from.
So, yeah.
In the old country of Michigan.
Holland, Michigan. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. But I did get the sense, about midway through Frankenweenie, as much as I love the production design and I just.
Well, yeah, I really enjoyed that.
I love the world that it exists, what it inhabits. Mm-hmm. I did realize, I go, this is really more just a hodgepodge homage to things.
Oh, exactly.
And that's cool. And I think
but
what
I
you
appreciate
realize,
that, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. When I got to that point, and it was about halfway through, and I said, oh, okay, so that's what this is. This isn't a coherent story that goes from beginning to end.
No.
And once I kind of came to that realization, I liked it more.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
And I appreciate the playfulness of it all.
Yeah.
You know, that was fun. It's definitely not a movie that I would take my daughter to see until she's like 25.
You know what's funny? I was thinking this when they were showing the kids. Because the kids, everybody in this town is creepy as all get out. And there's like an Igor, and there's a Frankenstein guy, and there's this incredibly racist Japanese kid.
Oh, yeah, terrible.
And then you realize where they're going with it, and you go, well, I guess it's not racist. It's, again, an homage to Godzilla movies.
But still.
And Gamera movies.
It's really bad.
Yeah, when it shows up, it's like when I realize, I'm like, oh, that is the element of horror movies and monster movies that he represents.
Right.
It's not as racist when you look at it, but it's still really racist.
Yeah. It did take me a little while to warm up to that one, too. It's like, really, where are they going with this poor kid?
Yeah. So it's really cool, and it's really well designed. And the one thing I applaud the most is it's in fact an original story. It's not an adaptation it's technically a remake of the short film, but I mean, it's very different. I mean, aside from the fact that the kid who brings a dog back to life in Frankenstein manner. But
it's a good thing that it's in black and white, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at first I was like, kids aren't going to get the black and white. But you know what? If that were in color,
it'd be horrifying.
Oh, terrifying.
Kids would just like wet themselves.
And I think they probably still would.
Well, you know,
there are some pretty terrifying parts in that movie.
There's
it
a
is
lot of creepy.
Gory.
Well, you know what I think's funny about this? If this were made 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
People would freak out. They'd be like, this is so dark for children. And people would like freak out.
It definitely wouldn't be PG.
No. Well, and the thing is that now this is not uncommon to see a very dark, creepy movie. And Tim Burton's such a big known director. Mm-hmm. This kind of production design doesn't jar people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of cool. I'm going to give it a Kinda Rocks. What do you give it?
I'm going to go with a Kinda Rocks too.
All right. When we get back, we're going to talk about VHS and the box office.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies, here with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer, who she informed me I misspelled her name.
It's true.
On the notes here.
Everybody does it.
So I made sure to pronounce it properly. It's Kristen, not
Thank
Kristen.
You.
Right? Kristen, not Kristen.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Just want to make sure.
Get that right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Her name is just like her face. There's two eyes in it.
Nice.
So
that's a good way for you to remember it from now on.
See, two eyes, just like your face. I look at your face. Now, if your eyes get shot out with a bottle rocket at some point,
then
you're
we'll have a problem. I know those werewolf battles. They are kind of dangerous.
Well, I just watched Silver Bullet. Have you ever seen Silver Bullet?
No.
It's literally the best Stephen King adapted film ever.
Really?
He wrote it this is the story of Silver Bullet, and this is relevant because it's Halloween. And I did this. I covered this on Film School Reject. You can go there and I have a little write up, a loving tribute to Silver Bullet. And it's the story of a werewolf that terrorizes a town. The whole thing is it started out Stephen King and Bernie Wrightson, who's an artist who does he does comic books and stuff like that. He's a brilliant artist. They said, well, let's do a calendar. And every month, Bernie Wrightson will do a picture, and then Stephen King will write a short little vignette.
Nice.
And Stephen King, you've read Stephen King enough.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't keep to the vignette style. He then kind of did the first, like, first three or four months.
So.
They worked. They were just a werewolf killing somebody.
By August, it was, like, 400 pages.
Oh, by, like, April. By April, he sort of stumbled onto this story that he fell in love with, and he really liked it, and then it kind of turned into a novel. Novelette is what they called it.
Okay.
I guess it's a novella. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know if there's like if the UN has created standards for what a difference between a novel and a novelette.
Yeah, you know, it's a little one.
Yeah. So then he adapted it into a screenplay and they made the movie in 1985. And it's a much more coherent screenplay because it doesn't start out as this vignette style and then sort of evolve into a story. It starts out as a story. And it stars Corey Haim as a kid in a wheelchair.
Oh, well, if Corey Haim's in it.
And Gary Busey plays his sort of crazy uncle who tries
really,
to convince.
He's crazy?
Yeah.
Gary Busey?
But what's insane
That's not typecasting
is
at all.
As I'm watching it, I'm like, would you have believed in 1985, I would have never believed that Gary Busey would have outlived Corey Haim.
No.
As the cast of this movie.
That's true.
Which is kind of terrifying.
It is.
And it's one of his most reserved performances. It's still Gary Busey in all of his crazy
Gary
glory.
Busey.
And because the whole thing is he shoots a bottle rocket at the werewolf's face and knocks out his eye, and that's how he discovers who the werewolf is, because the guy is missing an eye. But the big climactic battle, which is actually really short, is when the werewolf's coming after him. And it's so great because Gary Busey is as terrified as the kid. They're like, ah! they're just terrible at fighting werewolves, which is what would really happen. I mean, we're sitting here in the booth. If a werewolf came in and attacked us, we wouldn't be doing kung fu fighting. I'd be soiling myself.
I might do the kung fu.
I'll
protect you.
I would run away and push you into the werewolf and say, here, take her. I've got three kids. She just has one.
Nice.
They can recover better. Anyways.
Gary Busey. You know my favorite role by Gary Busey?
What?
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice.
Yeah.
What?
He was on The Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it
That's
was the
terrible.
Greatest thing ever.
Was it like, was the, you know, was it Donald Trump going, now I need you to go out and just get drunk and, like, crash car into something? He's like, I can do that.
And Gary Busey would wander around and say things that made no sense, and it was awesome. You know, they'd have the confessional that, you know, they'd interview him, and he'd say stuff, and you're like, I don't know what he just said, but that was awesome.
That's great. Yeah. I remember him in The Ginger Dead Man. Which is a full moon feature. I once interviewed Charles Band, who directed it.
Okay.
And he had this great story about how he like had a book, like he booked like 3 hours in the recording booth because he knew Gary Busey would just kind of go nuts. And Gary Busey like had something to do. So he came in and he like did all of his stuff in like 20 minutes and it was done. But apparently that's not normal for Gary Busey.
I can imagine.
Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And we're going to be talking now about VHS, which is a found footage horror movie, which offers an anthology of bizarre stories caught on tape.
Okay, here's the deal. We gotta break into this house, and all we have to do is steal this one VHS tape.
Which one is it?
I don't know, man. Let's just look at this tape.
What's so special about this tape, anyway?
You're all gonna die up here.
My apartment's haunted.
It's not haunted. I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation.
It's been on demand for the last couple weeks. It's released by Magnet Releasing, which is the genre arm of Magnolia.
They do some great stuff.
They do some awesome stuff. The last one I saw of theirs was Wreck 3, and that was really a fantastic horror film. But this one is... I hate found footage. I hate found footage. I think the genre is dying. I think it's been...
Yeah.
The most has been done. I will say this, though. VHS is a very interesting take on the found footage genre.
Really?
Because part of it is it's an anthology. So it's like four or five different stories.
Okay.
On this one, the overall story is these people have this tape, and they've taped over things, and so you get this hodgepodge of events. And they're basically, it's like Creepshow or, you know, Twilight Zone, the movie. Mm-hmm. These multiple stories, and they all kind of have some bizarre horror element to them, some supernatural, some not. But they all work, and like Ty West.
So it's like a collection of novellas.
Yes. It has nothing to do with Stephen King, though. And wow. There's no werewolves. Although there is a monster, a really cool monster, sort of vampire-ish thingy. And there's a lot of nudity in it. I can appreciate that.
I know you can. That's, extra star from Kevin.
Yay. That automatically. Yeah. Automatically is...
Does anybody get hit by a bus? Because I know that's another star.
Oh, gosh. Maybe. You know what? I don't think... I think somebody might get hit by a car at one point.
Close enough.
I'm trying to remember. Because it is very disjointed, being the it pops back and forth. But Ty West does an episode of it.
Okay.
Are you a fan of Ty West?
I'm familiar with Ty West.
I like Ty West stuff. I loved House of the Devil, and I thought The Innkeepers was pretty cool. Cabin Fever 2 was terrible, but I don't blame him for that. But it's good. It's definitely worth checking out, and it's in like three theaters this week.
All right. So well, if you happen to live by one of those three theaters,
if you happen
go
to live
nuts.
Really close to water in a big city, you might be able to find it.
There you go.
So anyways, that gets a total rocks.
All right.
Me. Well, it kind of rocks. Let's just say. Let's make that. I'm going to... This is
backpedal on that one.
It's political season, you know. It's the election time, so I'm allowed to shift views.
It's true.
That happens all the time.
It does. You're allowed.
Let's
but
talk.
After November, it's all over.
That's right.
No more.
Yeah, and then I have to stick to my guns.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to bring guns in this debate. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies, and now we're going to talk about box office. Now, what did you think of the box office? I was surprised. Were you surprised? Box office was huge this past week.
It was. It was surprising, yeah.
And Hotel Transylvania did win,
which we called.
Yeah. And it didn't just win. It, like, really won. It got the highest record for a September opening.
Yeah, which is surprising. It's okay, but...
Well, yeah. I think it was just...
The greatest movie that ever came out in September? Not so much.
No, not really.
No.
But $42.5 million. That's nothing to sneeze at. I don't think anyone's out there sneezing at it.
I could sneeze at it.
You probably could. You're a bit mucousy today.
I am.
Yeah. We're sort of dripping here. Sorry for the graphic description. Then there was Looper at 20.8. So I think the sort of like the bar for success, if it made 15, 16 million, it was going to be considered a hit. And so it's definitely a hit.
Yeah.
It's not as widely appealing as Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, I think that much for that movie is impressive because it's definitely not a big box office kind of movie.
Well, something like Source Code, I keep comparing it to Source Code because I think they're very similar. Especially to fiction, sort of this indie-loved director.
Sure.
And I think it's doing better than Source Code did. I think people are expecting more from Source Code.
Hmm.
And I think people lowballed their expectations for Looper. So, yeah, 28.8 million. And you liked it better. We were talking after the weekend that you...
I did. I liked it better the next morning. It's one of those things that after you think about it for a little while, you know, after you let it stew... Sometimes things get better. Sometimes things get much worse.
It's sort of like, you know, if you have like a one-night stand and you wake up the next day and you're just like, oh, I shouldn't. I immediately regret that decision. And then there's somewhere you're like, no, that was actually really good. And
okay.
And then they don't return your calls.
All right.
Am I sharing too much?
You always share too much. That's what makes you lovable.
The next three, which was End of Watch, Trouble with the Curve, and The House at the End of the Street, were all in the 7 million range. Which was okay for all of them. They're all doing fine.
Yep.
And then Pitch Perfect did 5.1 million, which is really good for being in like 350
theaters. Right, in limited release.
Which is very different from Won't Back Down, which was in like...
How did that do?
It made 2.6 million, which is the grand record for worst opening at 2,500 screens ever. Even
well, that's because people heard what you had to say about it.
That's right. They heard and they listened.
Yes.
But yeah, it beat out The Rocker, which was 2.64 million. This is 2.60 million.
Nice.
So
well
I guess,
done.
There you go. That didn't do well. Anyways, about now we should probably be going to a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about DVDs that you can check out this week.
All right.
Here we are again at Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
With two eyes.
Two eyes. Two eyes in her face, and I have no eyes. I am a blind movie reviewer, and she's got two eyes.
You've got one eye, Kevin.
That's right, I do. I didn't see it because I had one of my eyes closed. Anyways, today...
Good thing one of us knows how to spell your name.
We're going to be talking about some DVDs and Blu-rays you can check out this week. The big one, this is the one I'm so excited about, is the Universal Classic Monsters The Essential Collection Blu-ray.
That should get you through a few Octobers.
That's true. Well, it has eight films in it, which I believe is Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Dracula, Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, The Invisible Man, Phantom of the Opera, the one from the 40s with Claude mm-hmm. Rains, or 30s, not the one from the 20s with Lon Chaney. And what, The Mummy? I think that's one I was missing. So it's the thing is, there's so many of these when you count the sequels, because mm-hmm. The Mummy, there's like 58 sequels to The
58
Mummy.
Of them.
There's a lot. But what's funny is on the cover of the box, you have, because all the different, there's main actors, you know, Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, Lon Chaney Jr. Yeah. And Boris Karloff actually played both The Mummy and Frankenstein in the first of those series.
Okay.
Of Frankenstein's Monster. I explained to Ben, my son, I had a long explanation of why he's called Frankenstein. He's not really Frankenstein, he's Frankenstein's Monster.
Right.
And if you look at the cover box, the mummy is sort of looking off to the side right next to the Frankenstein face, which is much bigger. It's almost like the mummy's like, oh, why'd you have to put me next to him? I'm the same guy. Here's an interesting story. I used to edit textbooks. Did you? You knew that about me.
I knew that, yep.
And
strangely enough,
somebody...
Kevin was responsible for the things that went into our children's minds.
There are a couple pictures of the Death Star in some books that I supervise the art on. There was one book, and I don't even remember what the subject was, but it was some grade school, like a fourth grade history book or something like that. And it was talking about mummies, Egypt and mummies and that sort of thing. And the picture they chose was of Boris Karloff as the mummy.
Nice.
And the caption read, a mummy, blah, 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 blah. And I had to go to the photo editor. I couldn't let that. I have to go. You do realize this is from the Universal Monster movie, which it's fine to use if you bought the rights to it. But at least don't call it a real mummy, because it's clearly Boris Karloff in makeup. Oh, the stories I could tell about textbook writing. It is insane.
I would put that in on purpose.
What's interesting about the Universal Classic Monsters, the set is selling on Amazon for like a ridiculous amount of money. It's like $120. But if you go to amazon.co.uk, you can buy the region-free Blu-ray. Which is, it's like £36, whatever it is, but it's, that's equivalent to like $50 or $60.
Right, yeah.
It's like half the price. It's worth the international shipping because it'll play in your Blu-ray player.
Because
it's an import. So yeah, there's that. There's also Cinderella's on Blu-ray.
Yes.
Which has nothing to do with Halloween.
No, but it has mice and pumpkins.
Yes.
And that's good enough.
Cinderella's such a sweet movie.
I love Cinderella. You know, I watched it the other day again, and I remembered how much I love that movie.
And Gus Gus.
And yes.
I love Gus
Gus. And I think it's my favorite of the classic princess stories.
Yeah.
So
my favorite of the classic one is Sleeping Beauty, which has been out on Blu-ray for a while. But I do love Cinderella. Snow White I'm not wild about because it's extremely... For as beautiful as it looks, it's clear it's the very first one they did.
And I love it because it's the first one.
Yeah.
But, you know, do I want to watch it every week? Not so much.
There's a little more character development with Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty.
Yep.
And Disney's bringing back all of these old animated classics
and I love that.
On Blu-ray, which is fantastic. You know, hoard them
it's
now.
It's like Christmas.
Because you've
every
got
time
a
one shows
daughter.
Up.
I mean, they had the Aristocats and... You know, Lady and the Tramp came out recently. The Tigger movie. They've always, and that's wonderful.
Oh yeah,
that's a wonderful thing.
And I still have a lot of these on VHS.
Oh yeah.
So I've been collecting Disney movies for years. There are some that I never even watched when I had them on VHS, but I still have them.
Those are the ones that I have that are like every, I have like every format. There's VHS, a DVD, and a Blu-ray.
Yep.
And I'm waiting for, you know, whatever the next thing is. Brain download. I'll have Cinderella on brain download.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
As you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies, and we're talking about Blu-rays and DVDs that are out this week. There's also the other one I want to point out that's a recent theatrical release is Dark Shadows.
Yep.
And probably the most significant thing is it's the week that another Tim Burton movie is out in the theaters, Frankenweenie. Now, Dark Shadows, there's with any Tim Burton movie, you can appreciate the set design and what they do visually more.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it again. I wasn't wild about the movie, I have to
say. No, it's kind of a mess.
It's, and I get what they're doing. I get having these long conversations that they have, that people staring into walls and stuff like that, because that's what they did in the original show. If you ever watched Dark Shadows with Jonathan Frid as Barnabas Collin. But it just doesn't translate well.
Yeah, I kept trying to figure out if it was too campy or not campy enough.
Yeah.
Because it couldn't really decide what it wanted to be.
Yeah.
Does it want to be campy and fun and 70s and wacky? Or does it want to be, you know, a kind of monstery movie?
Yeah, and I like the idea of doing a monster movie.
Yeah.
Although I do think what's funny is, as I'm watching it, I go, I wonder if Helena Bonham Carter is bothered by the fact that Eva Green looks exactly like Lisa Marie in this movie, who is the woman that she stole Tim Burton from back when they made, was it Planet of the Apes or the one before that?
I don't remember.
I forget when he swapped
his muse,
we'll say. So anyways, that one's out. There's also, well, you had Princess Bride.
Princess Bride, the 25th anniversary.
Yes. Now that's a great movie.
That is a wonderful movie.
And on Blu-ray, again, that's one I think I had on VHS and on DVD. And
I have it on Blu-ray already before the 25th anniversary.
Wow. See, that's because you're in the know and you're
right.
You're signed
up. When it comes
up
to things that are girly, I know these things.
You're like, you get those early. You're like, if it's girly, Kristen gets them early.
Nice.
That's my Johnny Cochran impression.
Nice.
Johnny Cochran. Zombie Johnny Cochran coming back from the grave. Joining us on the
slutty,
show.
Slutty Johnny Cochran.
Slutty Johnny Cochran joining us on Fat Guys in the Movies from the grave. If it's girly, Kristen gets it early. There's also a couple TV shows that are worth checking out. There's How I Met Your Mother Season 7.
Mm-hmm.
That's a funny show. Do you watch that?
I don't. I've seen it a few times. Really? I don't know how you have time to watch all this stuff.
It's a half-hour show.
You have three kids.
Yeah.
Well, I have one, and I get like an hour at night.
Yeah, but you know what's great is like when she'll get older, because I do this to my sons. They'll be running around. I'll be watching. I'm like, I'm working. Click, 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 click. Watching TV.
Nice.
I'm watching TV and goofing around on Twitter, and that's considered work.
It's true.
You know?
We did welcome her to a family movie night the other night. And she watched Cinderella. She got through about half of it, and then she was like, "Nah, I've had enough."
I don't buy it. Talking mice.
She was amazed.
Did she?
It was really funny. She sat on Paul's lap and just stared at the screen, just wide eyed.
I've seen your family movie night room.
It's not bad.
You have a screen that is literally larger than some theaters.
It's 140 inches.
It's huge. Yeah. It is the giant...
It's my job. It's what I do.
It's the Freudian screen. You know, the thing is, you worry that your daughter's going to grow up and she's like going to be going out with a boyfriend and he'd be like, look at my 70-inch screen. She's like, that's nothing.
We do that sometimes. We watch those shows like Million Dollar Rooms. They're like, I have a 104-inch screen. I'm like, okay.
I don't even know what I'd do if I had to watch movies in your... But it's got to be really tough to like watch something that's like on regular television in 480 definition.
Yeah.
Because it's got to look terrible.
It does look pretty bad. But it's good for movies, and it's good for hockey, so we're both happy.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Gotta please the hockey people.
Well, if we ever have hockey again.
What's funny with, there's that going on.
We'll see what happens there.
How I Met Your Mother, they sent me a ducky tie with that, which
really?
Is fantastic, because the overall story arc is Barney has to wear a ducky tie throughout the entire season. For the next year, he's got to wear a ducky tie because he lost a bet.
Okay.
And
you got one?
I got one.
So do you have to wear it for the next year?
I don't wear a tie. Trust me.
You should.
No.
I can see you in a ducky tie with your t-shirt.
Yeah, I just tie it around my neck.
Yeah.
There's also New Girl, season one. That's a fantastic show with Zooey Deschanel as the manic pixie dream girl.
I checked in and out of that one.
Really?
Yeah. There were some times when she was a little too cutesy.
A little too manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah, a little bit.
See, I would.
So I checked out for a while. And I came back.
I'm not wild about the manic pixie dream girl. I take that over the, like, depressed, fat Nightmare Lady.
Really?
Manic Pixie Dream Girl works better.
Which depressed fat Nightmare Lady are we talking about?
Well, no, it's just the opposite of what a Manic Pixie Dream
okay.
Girl is. So, yeah, that's good. Also, Nikita is out season two. Now, if you like Nikita, you can go check out on Fat Guys in the Movies. This is relevant, the Operation Nikita podcast, which covers the show. I don't do it. But there's a podcast that we have on that page. You can go check that out. If you like Nikita, that returns on October 22nd when the TV show picks up on season 3.
Okay.
They're huge. They're like number one podcast. That's the one that I produce, I guess you could say.
Nice.
It's like number one in like, I don't know, Bangladesh or something. It's like,
awesome.
It's weird. These weird, like the guy who produces it, Merrill, he sit there and, oh my God, we're like huge in China. Like, great. Okay. And I think that's it. Though the stinker for the week is People Like Us, which I hated.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
No.
No.
I did skip that one. Actually, I heard good things about it, so I'm surprised that you hated it. Well, I guess I'm not surprised that you hated it.
It's it's not my kind of movie.
It's not your kind of movie.
Anyways, we're going to do the review wrap-up here. We had Frank and Weenie, which, did you say Kinda Rocks?
I said Kinda Rocks.
I think we both said Kinda Rocks on that one. Taken 2 gets a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for us. And then I said VHS Kinda Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely worth checking out, even if you hate found footage. Next week, we're going to be talking about Argo, Here Comes the Boom, Seven Psychopaths, and Sinister. Fat Guys of the Movies. We'll talk to you later.